Okay, Chevra, I'd like to continue with you what we are up to regarding Dinim of Avelos. We're in the middle of Simin Shin Ayin Dalet, and yesterday we mentioned the Psak of the Ramah at the end of Si'if Vav. The Ramah writes, Misha Rosal Hachmel Asolus Abba Misha Inot Sarech, Olo Boshkorim Al Krovo In Mochin Biyado. Right, the Ramah quoting from a Tshuvas Harash. The Tshuvas Harash is found in Klal Chav Zayin Os Tes. So Ramah says, if you want to be machmir, to be misabel for someone you don't have to, so you don't protest. That's what the Ramah paskins. Now, it's worth noting, Reb Fivel Cohen points out in the Beit Urim over here, that the Lashon of the Tshuvas Harash is krovo or ohavo. The Ramah only quotes krovo. The Psak of Rav Soloveitchik, where he said that even an adopted child is allowed to be misabel, that would be midin ohavo, not midin krovo. No, an adopted child, al pi halacha, is not related. It's a little interesting. It's certainly noteworthy, to use the Rabbi Rosenzweig term, it's noteworthy that the Ramah does not use the word ohavo, he only uses the term krovo. Now, Rav Schechter is quoted in this, Rav Schechter in the Sefer Be'ikvei Hatzon, notes, and we discussed this yesterday, that donating avelos can only be donating the mitzvah's essay of avelos. And yesterday we gave like a short pilk about what's considered the mitzvah's essay of avelos, but I missed the punchline yesterday. The punchline that Rav Schechter says is that you can only donate shiva and shloshim. You can't donate yud beis chodesh. You see, shiva and shloshim is like some kiyum of avelos. There's what we would call an assay, so to speak, of avelos. However, yud beis chodesh, there's no such thing as a kiyum. Yud beis chodesh is just isurim, and we noted from that Maharal of Prague regarding Yaakov Avinu marrying two sisters that donation is only shayich on mitzvah's essay where there is a kiyum. So Rav Schechter notes that you cannot donate the avelos of yud beis chodesh. That's his psak. Ra'oi l'ha'ir, it's kedai to note that in the Tshuvas Harash Beferish in Klal Chav Zayin Ois Tes, which is the Makar Lahachdina, the Rush is speaking about the Avelos of Yud Beis Chodesh. The Rush asks, let's say someone wants to be Lovesh Shechayrim for Yud Beis Chodesh, is that going to be okay? Right? That's already interesting because I thought Yud Beis Chodesh is no din of Kiyum, it's just an Isser. However, since the Rush is talking about to be Lovei Shechorim, which is more of like a mitzvah, I say again, we don't do that, no? We don't wear black. Actually, I once had a tailor who, she was very good with her hands. She could mamish, like, my wife found her. She was able to change a pantsuit into a skirt suit, which is like godless. And that it can expand your wardrobe considerably. So she, when she was in mourning, she wore black for a full year, which apparently the Greek Orthodox do. No idea. But that's what Stacy, that's what I learned from Stacy. So basically it would seem that the Shtickle Torah of Schechter still is shayich to say in terms of only by kiyumim of avelos, not by isurim. Let's go on. The Pisrei Tshuva here, Ois Zayin, notes a tshuva from the Besamim Rosh. The Besamim Rosh, as we know, is a forgery, but in the Besamim Rosh, there is a tshuva where he says that if you want to keep avelos for someone who you're not related to, or someone who you are not mechuyav to be misabel on, you should not keep regular avelos. Right? You should not keep kol dine shiva. That's what the Besamim Reish writes. And he says, if you would do that, you are a hedyot. Right? We know that there's a famous discussion in the poskim about when I apply the rule of potem and dover sehu nikra hedyot, and when do I apply the rule of gadol ha-metzuva va'osa mimisha eno metzuva va'osa, but the eno metzuva va'osa still gets schar. It's already in Kedushan and Daf Lamed Aleph raises this question, the Bir Halochin Simin Tafresh Lamed Tes, and the Rechaim raises this question. It's actually a very good shir to give a Mesukkah's time in terms of when do you say Pater Medover Valseyu Nikra Hedyot, when don't you say it, right? The Bir Haloch has a chiddush. He applies called Pater Medover Valseyu Nikra Hedyot only if there's some tsar that you're imposing on yourself. So the Bir Haloch says, the din is true if I sit in the sukkah when it's raining, because then I'm being mitzayer myself unnecessarily. One could understand that if I'm misabel more than I have to, that is being mitzayer myself. So the Bir Halacha's definition would work. Others say, the Ritva Tainas, that we don't say Pater Mindavar Oseh Nikra Hedyot with respect to Noshim Ratzei B'mitzvahs Esei, because since other people are Chayiv, you are just putting yourself into a different category. No? Isn't that the way the Ritva writes it in Kedushin Daf Lamed Aleph? I'm putting myself into a different category and I have a right to do that. L'chor, according to the Ritva's Hagdara, there would be no such thing as Potter Mendover Oseh Nikra Hedyot by Avelos, because there is a Musig of Avelon, no? There are Avelim. I am putting myself, because of my emotional connection to this person, I'm putting myself in a category. So according to that Ritva, L'cha'ora, there would be no din of Nikra Hedyot, the Besamim Rosh notes that it's Nikra Hedyot. That itself is interesting. There's a whole discussion about Nikra Hedyot. I believe the Rav Yor writes that if I put tagin on osios in a get when it's not necessary, that's Nikra Hedyot, no? If you say Kriya Shema, a chosin, Laila Rishona, right? If he decides to say Kriya Shema, there's a discussion in the Gemara and in the Rishonim, are you called Nikra Hedyot in that case, no? There's a whole pilpul that we could give, and again, just it's kedai to add to that pilpul this discussion in the Tshuva B'Samim Rosh. Okay, next. We mentioned last time there's a din of shnios in terms of avelos, that like the secondary relatives also observe certain dinim of avelos. So this practice we noted, unfortunately, we are not mekayim as well as we should. It's a real halacha in Shulchan Aruch, and we should be mekayim the din of shnios and avelos, that like when a parent is sitting shiva, so then you should prava some dinim of avelos, at least until Shabbos, unless you discuss. Mr. Ryan. By your spouse, the din is only for father and mother. It's covered for chamev v'chamoso. It does not apply when the spouse is sitting for a sibling. Why that's true, not exactly clear, but these are the dinim. Okay, there is another halacha that tino kol shloishim yom ein misablam olav. Afilu gomru saro v'tziparnov misham ve'elach misabel olav, etc. That a child who is nifter, let's say, toch lamed yom, there's no avelos. Even if the child appears to be a full-term baby, it's gomru saro v'tziparnov, it's already grown, nonetheless, you don't observe avelos. If it's kimlai bo, shekalu chadashav, if let's say you were bo al parish, and you know that it's a full-term baby, so then, by tes chadashim gemurim, so you will be misabel, you'll be misabel on the child. So we pass in the halacha that a baby who's nifter, we don't prava avelos for. Baby is nifter toch lamed yom, there's no avelos. You should know this is one of the hardest things. Because when you have avelos on some level, the halacha gives us a way to come to terms with the loss. There's a couple in my shul who, around a year ago, lost a daughter. And they were terribly distraught. Right now, Baruch Hashem, they just had a baby. And they're beginning... They're beginning to come to terms. It could be they'll never come to terms. Right? The baby was born. The baby had a name. The baby was a nifter after. It's a very, very distressing thing. There's no avelos. Now, technically speaking, al pi halacha, you could volunteer avelos, no? Like we spoke about. But apparently, the practice is that people don't do that in these cases. I'm not exactly sure why not. Maybe that's a question to ask Rav Schechter today. If you want to, right, at 3 o'clock, Rav Schechter is doing a Q&A on Inyone Avelos. If you want to ask Rav Schechter this question, it might be Kedai. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure the parameters of this. Now, there's another din. Now, if you have a child and you're not sure who daddy is, Safek ben Teisha l'Rishon, Safek ben Shiva l'Acharon, so both are Miss Abel. Why are they both misabel in this case? Shouldn't we say halacha kedivrei hamekel ba'avel safek avelos v'hakel? How come they're both misabel? So the Rishonim explain because it would be a genai b'lav hachi. It's a genai. You know for sure someone's the daddy, right? You don't know if daddy is Reuven or Shimon. By the way, you're not allowed to get married. Yesterday I was a aid mesira on a get that I had signed a few years ago in Baruch Hashem. Now the couple civilly divorced, so we did the mesiras haget yesterday. And you warned the woman at the mesiras haget that you should know you can't get married for 92 days. Today, including today, and including the day you get married, so it's 90 days in between. No? A haflaga of tishim yom. You can't get married because we want to avoid a safek ben tesh al arishon, safek ben shivala achron. So how come they're both misabel? So the answer is that they're both misabel out genai. They're both misabel because it's a genai. Rav Piper Cohen is bothered by the kasha. How come we don't just say that we don't apply the rule of safek derabbanan lahakel to eradicate a din in Gansen? No? There's a famous discussion in the Ran, famous stira in the Ran. How come by Dalad Kosos, the Gemara Tainas, that I don't know, should I do Heseba on Tre Kasi Kamoy or Tre Kasi Basroy? So the Ran, so we paskin that we do Heseba by all four cases. Why don't they assume Safik Drabanon Lahakel? The Teretz is that we're not going to say Safik Drabanon Lahakel to eradicate a din of Heseba on the Kosos. And the Mishnah Lamech raises a stira that by the Arim Hamukafov Schoma, when there's a Safik, so over there the Ran says that we assume that it's not an Ir Hamukafchoma. Right, so there's a whole discussion in the poskim about when I say Safek Rabban Lahakel, can I say it to eradicate a din? So Reb Feivel decides to be mefalpel in that direction. There is a discussion over here in the Pisrei Tshuva Sifkot and Yud. Pisrei Tshuva Sifkot and Yud quotes a Tshuva's Heshiv Rabbi Eliezer, that in the case of Safek ben Teshel Arishon ben Shevela Achron, that if the woman was lo haisa befaneinu, if the woman was in town and she was not noticeably pregnant after 3 months, usually 3 months of pregnancy is when Hukar Ubra, no? Even the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, even by a 7-month baby, 3 months of pregnancy is when it's going to be Hukar Ubra. So, in a case where she's Haisa Lefaneinu, we don't see that she's noticeably pregnant after 3 months, that's when we apply the suffix. But in a situation shelo haisa b'faneinu ad achar shleisha chodashim d'nisuei sheni, in a case that no one saw the woman until 3 months after she married the second guy, so then we assume d'nis abra me harishon, and it's a ben teisha, like the regular din of rov. In other words, rov babies are 9-month babies, not 7-month babies. So only when they have a pircha on the robe, when the woman is befaneinu and it's not hukar ubra, only then do I say it's a suffix. But if she's not befaneinu, so then I will shtel on the regular robe. In other words, the tshuvas heshiv Rabbi Eliezer saying that a robe can be machriya suffix ben teisha l'rishon ben sheva l'achron in a case where it's eina befaneinu. If that's the case, l'cha'ura DNA evidence, or evidence based on cluster punim, no? Let's say the baby clearly looks like daddy number one, no? Let's say one father is Hispanic, the other father is an Ashkenazi, no? And the baby clearly looks one way. Is that a raya? Can you use, right, Avraham Holeres Yitzchak, the late son Hador, said, may Avi Melech nis Abra Sarah, but then Kadosh Baruch Hu made the image of Yitzchak Avinu look like the Tata Avram. There's some indication from looks. DNA is zicher. DNA is like one in a million that you'll mess up. Would DNA help? as evidence for who's the father, Ben Teshal Rishon, Ben Shivala Achrin, that Five Cohen is misupik about this Nakuda. Nira Lefianias Daiti, that there's not much room to be misupik, because it's a Dover Pashut that if I follow Rov, like Rov Ben Tesha, as opposed to Ben Sheva, right, most babies are 9-month babies. If I follow Rove, unless it's some Pircha on the Rove, so who I didn't, of course, we would follow DNA. I don't really understand the Svara not to follow the DNA. This was a whole discussion here in Yeshiva years ago when they had this thing called September 11th. So we were learning Yevamos that year in the Kol HaElyon, and we were working on like some of the Lamaisa Shailas. And one of the big issues that came up is, can we use DNA evidence to prove that the guy was there? Right? Does DNA evidence help? And this became a whole discussion. One of the reasons why Poskim don't want to use DNA evidence, why they're scared of it, is because it could create a Pandora's box for Mamzeris Shailas, no? Let's say I test the baby, and the DNA don't match the daddy, or the mommy, or the wife's husband. Would we say DNA lahachmir? Right, that's where Rav was, and there's a friend of Rav who was worried about, with the DNA evidence. Lemais, I think, DNA, it's one in a million. The Pashta says, Rabbi Willig wrote about this in the Kol Tzvi, Volume 4, in his Shailas Binyane Agunos. The Pashta says DNA should help. Fine. There is a discussion in the postgame. This is already in Se'if Tes. There's a discussion in the postgame if you have twins, and one of the twins is Nifter Toich Lamed, and the other twin is Nifter Achar Lamed. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, Ein Misablim Olav. Now what does Ein Misablim Olav mean? So the Levush understands Ein Misablim Olav means that we're not Misabel even on the baby who is Nifter La'achar Lamed. The fact that both babies are twins, and one of them was Nifter Toich Lamed, that indicates that obviously it's a Nefel, it's not something that could survive. And the fact that the other baby is Nifter La'achar Lamed, meaning in the case when the other baby was sick and was Nifter right La'achar Lamed, says the Levush, Amos Ablam Alav, there's zero Avelos at all. The Shach and the Taz both jump up and down, spit wood and nickels, and they argue on the Levush. And they say, my dear Levush, what are you talking about? Amos Ablam Alav, why should you not be Misab on the one who's Nifter La'achar Lamed? Obviously, Emes Ablam Alav means that you're not Misab on the one who is Nifter Toich Lamed. I would have said that since babies are both, they're twins, they're Bo Mitipa Achas, so you would say that maybe if you are Misabel on baby two, who died La'achar Lamed, should also be Misabel on baby one. Says the Shach and the Taz, no, you're not Misabel on baby one. The upshot of all of this is in Truvis Reb Kiva Eger. Reb Kiva Eger here in his Chidushim. I misspoke. Reb Kiva Eger here in his Chidushim notes that the reason why we split, lahalocha, we split between baby one that there's no avelos for, baby two that there is avelos for, is because we assume that maybe miktsas hatipa went for baby one, and miktsas hatipa went for baby two, and maybe miktsas hatipa was Niklat 3 days after the other Mixas Hatipa, something like that, and therefore will be make on baby one, not on baby two. We don't assume la halacha that the two babies have to share the same din of Avelos. There are dinim that for Rabbo Shalim Do Chachma, so there is a din of Avelos. For Yom Echad, which means la halacha mixas hayom kekulai, that you should keep part of avelos mixas hayom. You should like sit down on the floor. You should do some nihuge avelos for Rabbo Shalimdo Chokma. That's the din that makes it in Shin Ayin Dalid Se'if Yud. I remember Rosh Hashiva in high school, Rabbi Yechiel Per told us that when they heard that Rabbi Aaron Kotler was Nifter, all the boys in Lakewood sat down and pravid shiva for a few minutes. Makes sense. Rabbi Shalom do Chochma. Now there is a toos in, there's a mistake in the Taz Os Hey. The Taz says that Sahib Mixas Yom Rishon, that's what we know, the Mixas Hayom Kikulo. V'nachon lahem, it should be Shelo Lishtos Yayin, V'lo Lech Basar Kol Hayom, Af La'achar Kavura. The way we have the Taz, it says Ad La'achar Kavura, which means that you shouldn't drink wine and eat meat until the Kavura. But after the Kavura, you can. However, at 5 O'Kohen notes that the Pashas and what the Taz is saying is that you're knowing Mixas Avelos, you take off your shoes, you do something, Chalitza Sandal, Mixas Yom Kikulo, but that entire day that your Rebbe is Nifter, don't eat meat and don't drink wine. Right? Meat and wine is a simon of Simcha. You should not do these things the day that your Rebbe died. Right? The Sefer Kafta of Aferach writes that the day that you see Yerushalayim Bechor Bana, you're not supposed to eat meat and drink wine, no? All day, until dark. I remember one time I was in Eretz Yisrael giving bechinas in Yeshivat HaKotel and Nativ. That used to be the same stop because they're pretty close to each other. And one time I did it, I went there like right when I first got to Eretz Yisrael. So I hadn't gone to the Kotel beforehand. Usually I try to go to the Kotel like the first night, the Daven Ma'ariv. I hadn't gotten there beforehand. So I tore Kriya. Then I went to the garbage. I threw out my shirt, right? And then I went to give my bechinas. And then they invited me to join them for lunch in Yeshivat HaKotel, and it was like a fleshik lunch, and I tell Rabbi Tarigan I can't eat meat because I saw Yerushalayim Bechor Bana today. And he's like, well, anyone does that? I'm like, yeah, I think that's standard. It's the same type of idea. In these situations, when there's mixas avelos, the kriya that you do on Rabbi Shalom Do Chochma, the kriya in Yerushalayim, is not a din of kriya, like Rav Shechter has this, I believe, in Be'ikvei Hatzon as well. It's not a din of kriya about which we would say avelos v'chud and kriya v'chud. It's a kriya midin avelos. So therefore, you should not eat meat and drink wine, k'moshe kasov betaz over here. Next. So if your aleph is a little bit strange, Sif Yerav says that the Nosi, Afal Pisha Kometamin Lo, Ein Misablim Olov. That the Nosi, even though everyone is Metame for him, there is no Avelos. Isn't, right? There's no Avelos for the Nosi. Now, this then is a little bit strange because we don't have a Nosi anymore, no? The Nosi was like the head of the Sanhedrin. No, we don't have a Sanhedrin. Why is the Beis Yosef bringing the din of Nosi here? So we could argue historically that Maran HaBet Yosef received smicha, actually. No? In the famous smicha controversy between the Maharal Bach and Mahari Ben Chabiv. And Mahari Beirav, thank you. Between Mahari Beirav and the Maharal Bach. So one of the three people who got smicha, we're not exactly sure who got smicha in that kufa, but Kuli Alma Maskim, the Beis Yosef got smicha. I think Kuli Alma Maskim, the Ramosha Kerdevero got smicha. Some say the Aushach got smicha. Some say Reb Shlomo Alkavitz got smicha. Like somebody who lived in Sfat at that time got smicha. Right? So that we know. But it could be that the Beis Yosef is calling the din of Nasi, because the din of Nasi is taka no ge'al ma'isa, that even though everyone is metame for the Nasi, nonetheless, the halacha is that there is no avelos. So, 5 O'Kohen on page 39 in the Badei HaShulchan is bothered by this kasha. And the 5 notes that maybe there is a din of Nasi, Bizman Hazeh, for the Gadol Hadar. You see, Tosfos in Ksubas on Kuf Gimel quotes that Reb Chaim Cohen said, had I been there, Reb Chaim Cohen, by the way, is a Kohen, right? Hence the name Cohen. So Reb Chaim Cohen said, had I been there when Rabbi Nutam was Nifter, I would have been Metame to him. And the question is, what's the Pshat in Reb Chaim Cohen? What's the Pshat in Reb Chaim Cohen? So it could be that Reb Chaim Cohen felt that the Gadol Hadar, like Rabbi Nutam, has the din of a Nasi, and for a Nasi HaKom B'tamin, even a Kayin. By the way, this din is mamish out of place, no? Shouldn't this din be more in somewhere between Shin Samach Tes right? We basically, you went from Tumas Kayhan until Tilchus Avelos. Then this din, I don't know. I would have put it earlier. But the Kitzur HaMa'aseh says with Bible Cohen, maybe the halacha is to tell you that there is a din of Nasi in the sense of Gadol Hador is Dino Kenasi. And therefore, maybe a Kohen can be metame for the Gadol Hador. I am not giving a heter for Lubavitcher. It's like, to go to the Kever, there's no heter, no? A Kohen can only be metame, right? Lubavitchers go to the oil, no? It's mamish wrong. It's mamish wrong. They have like episodes, Zohar, the Chit is metame, the Mace, and it's not Misa that's metame, and since the Rebbe and Gedolei Yisrael have no Chit, so their Kohanim will like will wear like a box around them, they'll walk through the Beis HaFaris, come to the Rebbe's Kever, open themselves up. Right? They'll be metame to the Rebbe. That's mamish ruin, right? The hetch of Tumas Kohanim is only Adshe Yistom Hadolah, right? The Rebbe is Shein Bag Rabin. He's already buried. No heter at all. Okay, what can we do? What can we do? So this is interesting, though. What Reb Chaim Cohen is noting over here is that maybe we actually paskin, like the Reb Chaim Cohen, that the Gadol Hadar is Dino Kenasi. Right? Maybe that's not completely rejected. Even though the Beis Yosef in Shin Mem rejects it. Actually, no, is the Beis Yosef here? Beis Yosef is here. I'll tell you. In my Beis Yosef is here in Dibar Maso Kasu HaTaisis. Right? Beis Yosef quotes this Reb Chaim Cohen, and the Beis Yosef seems to reject it, but maybe it's not entirely rejected, and that's why it makes it to Shulchan Aruch. That's what Reb Bible suggests. And the Nafgamina would be that in Simon Shin Mem, he mentioned the din of Kriya for a Nasi, no? And Yesh Lishol, you should ask, how come this Kriya for a Nasi, Lecha'ora, we don't have a Nasi anymore. But maybe the pshat is that for Gadol Hadar, it's Dino Kenasi. And if Gadol Hadar is Dino Kenasi, so then maybe there is a chiyuv of kriya by the Gadol Hadar. That's what it said in Simen Shin Mem. Then the Bible has a little pilpul that he's inclined that it could be that there's more than one person who's considered Gadol Hadar. Now, Machlon v'chilyon shnei gadolei hadar hayu. And sometimes people say, well, who's the Gadol Hadar? Is it, right? Rebbe Yoshev, Rebbe Shlomo Zalman, they're both dead. Right? But we have to, like, who's the Gadol Hadar? It often depends on who's your Rebbe. Right? And, but it's very hard to know who the Gadol Hadar is, but it could be, oh, fine. There are certain, it's Shin Mem Se'if Yud Zayin. That's where that din apply, that's where that din appears. In Shin Mem Se'if Yud Zayin, there's a din of Kriya on the Nasi. Okay, so it could be that there's a chi of Kriya on the Gadol Hadar. I think we may have mentioned this already in our youth. Okay, let's go weiter. Shin Ayin Hey, when does Avelos begin? Not so simple. Well, it is simple. Avelos begins by Stimas Hagolam. But what's not simple is the Taz over here notes and the Shach quotes in Shin Ayin Gimel Sifkotin Yud Aleph that there's a big machlokas between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, what is Stimas HaGolam? Rashi seems to say that Stimas HaGolam means that you cover the coffin. Now, what that would mean, and the Bali Atosis asks on Rashi, the Ramban asks on Rashi, what that would mean is that a Kohen, who can only be Matame to his relative, Adshe Yistam HaGolam, so the moment the Chevra Kadisha comes with the hammer and nails and bangs the coffin top onto the coffin, at that moment, the Kohen can't be Mitami, it's his relative anymore. That's Shitas Rashi, Lechora. So, it's difficult. It's difficult, but it could be that Shitas Rashi. The Rabbeinu Tam holds that Stimas HaGolam means that you finish burying the mace. Meaning that they put like racks on top of the grave to show that it's done being covered. That's Dimas HaGolam, according to the Rabbeinu Tam. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like the Rabbeinu Tam, not like Rashi, that's Dimas HaGolam is when you put the rocks on top. That does not mean the Matzeva, by the way, no? The rocks on top is just the rocks to show that you finished that you finish the grave. Ad kan divrei Hashulchan Aruch. So I don't know if I mentioned this case or not, but my father lost his sister a few months ago, and the shaila that came up was they began the kavura a few minutes after shkia. If I remember correctly, it was like 6 minutes after shkia. They began the kavura, and then it takes like 15, 20 minutes until you fill in the grave. And the question is, can that day count as a day of shiva for my father? Right? So I mentioned that, like, when Rav Shechta went to be Menachem Avil by my father, so Rav Shechta decided to be very nice and to say that they should ask me. So Yeshua Ayin, do we hold like Rashi, like the Rabbi Nutan? Rucha Ayra, according to Rashi, look at the Shach Shin Ayin Gimel Sivkot and Yudalov. The Shach writes that even according to Rashi, Stimas HaGoyim can't mean that they bang the coffin cover into the coffin, because then you have both places as kashas. Rather, stimas hagoyel, according to Rashi, means that you cover the coffin with dirt. That's the way the Shach understands Rashi. And the Shach writes that the Bach paskins a halacha like Rashi. And you get an impression the Shach holds like that also. That would mean that the moment the coffin is fully covered with dirt, a day of Avelos begins, according to Rashi. But according to the Rabbi Nutan, the day of Avelos does not begin like until the coffin is completely covered, and right, you even make the mound of dirt on top. And that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So now, Yesh La'ayin, V'lach Kar. Another question may pass of Shechter this afternoon. Can we say Halacha K'divrei HaMeikol Ba'avel against the Shulchan Aruch? Shulchan Aruch passed here and said, Rabbi Gotam, can I say Halacha K'divrei HaMeikol Ba'avel like the Rashi? That the Avelos begins when you just have that little layer of dirt on top of the kever. The Aruch HaShulchan over here, Shinai Hesef Katan Aleph and Aruch HaShulchan, Aruch HaShulchan Tainos, as soon as the coffin is covered with dirt, Avelos begins. Everyone jumps up and down and spits wood and nickels, and they say, what are you talking about, Aruch HaShulchan? You have to fill it in entirely. Even though the Magen Avraham Paskin, the Aninos, ends when you just have a little cover of dirt on top of the coffin, but Avelos does not begin until the mound is made. Right? There's an Aruch HaShulchan, though, who sounds like he holds it Rashi. There's a tshuva of Reb Shlomo Kluger. Reb Shlomo Kluger tainas, it's Simin Shin Yudches, and the tshuva is Ha'elof L'chah Shlomo, that the Avelos begins when you can no longer see any part of the coffin. When you have a thin layer of dirt on top of the coffin, you don't see anything. Do I say halacha d'rabbi HaMeikol Ba'avel like these shitas? If I'm not mistaken, Rav Shechter is going to say, when we ask him, that there's a difference between halacha d'rabbi HaMeikol with a shita that is not accepted as opposed to a shita that's in Gans and rejected. Right? Sometimes a shita is totally rejected, and maybe we don't hold like that, ki huzeh. That would be my impression, but I think we should ask Rav Shechter, can we hold like this Aruch HaShulchan and the Reb Shlomo Kluger, right, which I think is like Rashi, fundamentally, can we hold like them or not? Now, one of the more complicated let's just go on. Shin Ayin Hesif Aleph. The moment of Stimas HaGoyel, Miyad Maskil HaAvelos Ma'atef Rosho. The Avel, right away, should begin Avelos. Now, that Miyad means, Reb Feivel Cohen points out, that the Avel Lachor should go home right away and sit Shiva. Sometimes after the Kavura, the Avelim hang around in the Beis Olam, and they talk to the family, and they hug, etc. Reb Feivel thinks it's Usser, because the Bible says that there's an Isser on the Avel Sheyetze Mipesach Beiso. And that Isser doesn't mean that the Avel can't leave the house. But it's clear in Shulchan Aruch, even if the Avel's a mile, and he's the only mile in town, and he has to leave home to do the milah, but he shouldn't daven at home and then go and do the milah. You shouldn't daven chakras with the bris. Why not? Because obviously the din is that the Avel shouldn't spend time out of the home of Avelos. And if the din of the Avel being Aser Sheyesim Pesach Beiso means don't spend time outside of the Beis HaAvel, then you should go back right away. You should go, right, from the Levaya, don't hang around there, go and sit Shiva. Right? Go and sit Shiva. That's in 5 volts ha'ara. He says maybe the olam is somech on the fact that maybe the iser sheyetze mipesach besos once you were home, but it's not so pashut. It's not pashut that the aveilim are allowed to stay outside. And l'chora, that's what the mechaber means when he says miyad. Now may ikar hadin, the aveilim do not have to take off their shoes in the cemetery. No. It says they should be ma'ate frosho, but they don't have to take off their shoes yet. The minig is that the avelim take off their shoes in the cemetery, and they walk between the shura, and the avelos begins then, no? Even if they didn't take off the shoes, me'ikar hadin, the avelos begins, misha yistom hagola. Right? The last be'er hetev in Shin Ayin Hey talks about a case that they buried the mace like right before yontif, no? And they didn't have a chance even to sit down. Not only do we assume the Shiva began, but the Shiva began and the Yontif knocked the whole thing off, says the Be'er Hetiv. Why? Because the Shiva deranach. Because you don't need a nihug avelos. Avelos begins with Simas Hagoyim. End of conversation. So now, how come we don't take off our shoes? How come we do take off our shoes today, even though maybe I think you don't have to? So the Rosh Hashulchan suggests that you want to demonstrate some avelos to show that the avelos began. So they used to do Itof HaRosh. We don't do Itof HaRosh anymore, no? How many times do you see someone wearing like an Arab kfiya during Shiva? We don't do Itof HaRosh anymore. Because you don't do Itof HaRosh anymore, that's why the practice developed that we take off our shoes, but it's not necessary. It could be it has something to do with the fact that maybe an avel is allowed to wear leather shoes if he's far away from his home and he's walking outside. But if the avel is close to his home, he doesn't. Maybe it has something to do with where the kibura is it far away or not? Again, these things are not abundantly clear. Now, the next din that we're going to talk about is Shin Ayin Hei Se'if Beis, which connects to Shin Ayin Hei Se'if Vav and Se'if Zayin Ches, etc., which are the dinim of Haskolas Avelos in the following case. The Gemara in Chaf Beis tells us that when the Avelim turn away from the mace, that's when the Avelos begins. Let's say you have some Avelim who are going to the Kavura. No? In our world, this often comes up when you have some family members who are going with the Nifter to Eretz Yisrael to bury the Nifter, and other family members are staying home. When does the Shiva begin? The Gemara in Chaf Beis says Shiva begins when you turn around from the mace. So, what should emerge is that those Aveilim who are going to the Kavura begin their Avelos at the Kavura. And those Aveilim who are not going to the Kavura, so they're giving up and they begin their Avelos right now, right when they say goodbye to the mace, they begin their Avelos. Right? Rabbi Bronstein came to me yesterday with the following Shaila, that a relative of his was Nifter, and the family, she was Nifter after dark in Eretz Yisrael at night, and the Kavura is going to begin at night. The relatives in America heard about it when it's still daytime. So it's still, let's say, Monday in America, right? But it's already Tuesday in Eretz Yisrael. So I told them that the relatives in America begin Shiva on Monday, right? Even though this one was still alive on Monday. You know what I'm saying? Right? The miracle of time change. The woman's still alive, they're going to begin Shiva, because l'cha'ora, the Shiva begins when you give up on the mace. So what I want to talk about tomorrow, again, we'll dive in mincha now. Look at the Shach Sif Katan Beis, the Rebbe Kiva Eger here is Mitzayin, the Shach Sif Katan Yud Beis. We'll talk about the dinim of Gadol HaBayis, looking at Shuvas Igris Moshe, Simen Reish Nun Gimel. And the Balei HaShulchan and Sif Katan Yud Aleph gives a synopsis of some of these issues. So we'll discuss this in Yirtzeh Hashem tomorrow. I'm going to try to tomorrow really push to move because I think we can do it. I think we can finish up. It happens on Thursday. As of now, I have a continuation of that Din Torah from last Thursday. So we'll have to miss a shiur on Thursday. But maybe we'll have a longer shiur tomorrow just to be mashlem. So we'll start at 9 a.m. and we'll go now.
Marathon.
I'm not awake at 9 a.m.